talking to this end here.
This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. This is Joan. The meeting is ready to begin.
Okay.
Let's go around the table real quickly.
Are you ready for us, Barbara?
Sure.
Okay.
This is Barbara Bowley, grant writer extraordinaire. Could we go around the table very quickly and introduce ourselves, please?
Chuck Pennell, County Commission.
Danny Strahan, County Commission.
Ron Houseman.
Hale Ricks, Olson Associates.
Jim Strophis, County Commission.
Mel Akins, Great River Engineering.
And Spencer?
Spencer Jones with Great River Engineering.
And Frank Preston just stepped out of the room, but he will be back here, and he is director of our road and bridge. And then Tim Connell is here from the Industrial Development Authority Board, Barbara.
Okay. Some of those I couldn't understand because, when you do it, on a speakerphone, sometimes it gets blurred. But that's all right. If I need to know who I'm talking to, I'll just ask, okay?
Absolutely. Barbara, I'll give a little background information. I already spoke with Chuck, and Chuck, is that agreeable to you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This is regarding the CDBG disaster supplemental funding. And Congress approved the Consolidated Security Disaster Assistance and Continuing Appropriations Act of 2009, which appropriated $6.5 billion in CDBG funds. And these were for which the President declared a major disaster in 2008. Missouri gets $92,605,490 of that. I asked Barbara if she would supply for us the nuts and bolts of this, and she and I have talked many times in the past week. This occurred late last week. She called me on Wednesday and said, I hear big monies are coming. And then Friday she sent to us the attachment that showed specifically about this. And I will pass this around. And this deals with the nuts and bolts of this. Questions that we would all have. And I forwarded to the commission this morning copies of that. These funds can be used for any eligible project. The project does not need to be disaster related. A preliminary engineering or architectural report is required. The report must be project specific. And I'm speaking loudly so that Barbara can hear. I hope I don't.
Yeah, this microphone works too, though.
Okay.
All right.
Only counties or cities may apply, but they can apply on behalf of another entity. Example, sewer districts, fire districts. The property must be owned by the ultimate recipient of the funding. That is the county, the city.
Now, Joan, let me interrupt you there. I have to correct that because I checked with Block Grant this morning. They will accept a long-term lease.
Okay.
Is that like a 50-year lease?
Yes.
Okay.
They didn't specify what long-term was, but I think anything that we could make a case for being reasonable.
Okay. Well, I spoke to you about a project that had a 20-year lease, so would we fall within that, you think?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There is no maximum limit on the amount of funding that can be requested. Preliminary applications must be postmarked at DED by September the 4th. The review board will determine which entities will be requested to submit a final application. And Barbara, as I recall, you said DED, DNR, Rural Development, sometimes MoDOT, are all a part of this review committee that will look at all these applications and then make decisions as to with whom they want to go forward with a complete application. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. The project, importantly, must meet one of the national objectives. Elimination of slight slum and blight, low to moderate income population, health and welfare. This morning I talked with Liz Roberts from the Department of Economic Development with regard to LMI, low to moderate income. Barbara, would you give our group, please, a definition of LMI, please?
Low to moderate income is established, the income limits are established by HUD, And they're done annually, and it's based on county, except for certain counties fall within a large metropolitan district like up around St. Louis. Some of the counties around St. Louis fall into that. And it's based on family size and annual income, and it's based on poverty level. And I'm sorry, I can't tell you exactly what it is at this point. I don't have the Taney County figures in front of me. But basically, it's, for instance, a family of three would fall within the guidelines if they had a annual income of $28,000 or less. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly Taney County's number. It may be as high as $35,000. But that's basically what it is, and we have to prove that in the final application.
And this is the most likely national objective that we are going to be able to meet. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we have to meet just one of these objectives.
Yes.
Well, it's where the most money is going to be dedicated. Yes.
Okay, you will have a list in front of you of LMI that a gentleman from DED, through Barbara's request, sent to us. And I called Liz Roberts at DED this morning and said, where can we go to get a complete evaluation of our county? And she said, HUD doesn't do it that way. She said, I can tell you that the LMI for Taney County is 37.2%. If you wish to add that, that's just Taney County in general. Taneyville is 61.2%, so they meet the requirement for LMI, and you can add that to your list. That wasn't available the other day. And then I asked about Rockaway Beach, because it was showing 30.3%, and I said, that just doesn't seem likely. And she said the grant writer from Rockaway was working on a project over there and had done a survey, and in fact, Rockaway is eligible under LMI.
So Branson would not be, correct?
Correct.
Branson, Forsyth, Hollister, none of them would be, based off of the 51%, would be eligible. Is that correct?
Correct. That's my understanding. But Barbara, remember I asked about the project the other day that's located in Branson. That's where it would be. But it would serve people who are definitely LMI, people who are working, uninsured people. And my understanding was if you serve, a project serves the group that is LMI, then you are eligible regardless of where you are located. Is that correct?
That's correct. It gets a little complicated. Branson is not eligible. But if there is a project that only that serves less than 50% of Branson and that population that is served, you do a survey and they are LMI. That population is LMI, then that project is eligible. And if you have a project that is serving people specifically targeted to people who are low to moderate income, the unemployed, the underemployed, the homeless, the uninsured, then that project is eligible.
Okay.
Is the application process, when we're, I wouldn't say splitting hairs, but like this Branson project, it's just a couple extra steps. Is that not, you're saying there's a couple extra steps to justify why we're applying with an LMI that's not 51% or higher?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there's an extra step you have to do. You'd have to do the survey like they did in Rockaway Beach.
Okay.
And I'm just passing around actually a copy of what DED released. And that's the last of the information that I have as far as a basis for our discussion. Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Barb.
I believe Kirby Hill also eligible based on the survey we did for that city.
Okay. So these are the eligible communities, correct? And then we go to the other list of items that we can look at of projects. Is that correct? Is that what we're...
Yes, I'm...
Is this the project list you're talking about?
No, I did not include any projects.
Well, go ahead.
That was really the completion of what I wanted to say. My understanding is that the scope of this potential funding is vast and that there could be a variety of projects. They don't have to be disaster related, correct, Barbara?
They do not have to be disaster related, no. They could be anything that's on that list of eligible projects, Joe, that you and I went through and I said some of these are housing are related to housing rehab, so they wouldn't apply, but anything on that eligible list is eligible.
Okay, so I think there's the 68 item subcategories. I think you sent an email out, Barbara, back in August 14th with those lists of items. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So, Joan, our job here is to narrow down the list or come up with a list or get a starting point.
This is just a tremendous opportunity for funding, and we are one of the counties that's eligible. There were very few counties in Missouri that were not eligible, four or five. We are one that is eligible, and it's just a great opportunity.
Okay.
The challenge is the deadline of September the 4th. That is a pre-application. That is a three-page application, and in the case of Ms. Boley, when she does this work for whatever entity, she doesn't charge for that, and probably other grant writers may not either.
Barbara, can I ask you a question? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
This is Ron.
Right.
It's my understanding, again, and I concur with Joan about the September 4th deadline, but I think we can narrow down a lot of projects that the county might look at within the county if we can clarify whether or not any engineering work has to be done ahead of time or architectural work has to be done ahead of time prior to that September 4th submittal date. Is that right?
Yes, you have to have a preliminary engineering report or a preliminary architectural report, and that report has to include a summary of the area, you know, what the project area is, a summary of the project itself, what the problem is, what the need is that exists, alternatives for addressing that need, a recommendation on the best alternative, and a cost estimate.
It would be fair for me to guess that the commission obviously should choose a project wherein that work has already been done or that they feel can be done ASAP. If they have a project that they want, perhaps they can get preliminary engineering work done on it. It would have to be rushed, right?
Yes, because the grant writer is going to need, whoever fills out that application is going to need that information at least 3 or 4 days ahead of time, because you need that information in order to complete that three-page application, and it has to be in Block Grant's hands by September 4th. It's not just postmarked, but in their hands.
Oh, it has to be in their hands. So what day do we have to ship it then, I guess?
Next day mail.
What day is the 3rd, though? Isn't the 4th a Monday? Or is it? Is it a Friday?
4th is a Friday.
Okay, so we have to ship everything out the 3rd then. Okay.
I'm thinking about this from what Joan said, that maybe three projects. Anyhow, the only two projects that come to mind is Seeley Bridge. I asked Great River about that, but that's pretty well along. And then we've got the EFK Mullen of the East-West. Do we have other projects as a county?
Bull Creek Bridge, up around Mountain, Bear Creek, Bull Creek.
I don't think we've done any engineering on it.
We've done some some concept engineering. Now, but I can tell you, we've worked on these types of CDBG reports for the engineering reports that are needed, and we can compile that information fairly quickly. The big thing there is having a detailed cost estimate so that we can be assured that we've got our hands around the cost of the project. The report itself, it's somewhat boilerplate in the information that they're looking for.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this, and I'll look at it in a second. Frank's got us a list of a bunch of roads that we could look at, and that's only two that we've done anything that I know of.
Is that right?
So,
and
one other question I had, and Barbara, we've got engineers here that are working on the Tiger Grant for this one big road project we have. And the question that came to my mind, is there pros or cons? Can we submit for that, for those monies in this CDBG and do the Tiger at the same time? Take, you know, get whatever we can get? Should we do, try to do both of them?
Remember, the project has to serve, has to meet one of those criteria. And that would, I imagine, a road or bridge project would be serving low to moderate income. So you're talking, when you talk about the Tiger project, you're talking about the bypass?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think you would have a hard time proving that that served low to moderate income individuals.
Okay.
Which bypass?
Either one.
Okay.
Can we use the census data to establish what areas are LMI?
You can use the data that Joan just gave you from Block Grant, the ones that are LMI, and then if you have a project that we, you know, that looks to you and looking at it that the income levels would be LMI, then we can submit the survey with the final application. But we would have to, you know, feel pretty comfortable that it would meet that criteria.
So, well, you know, when they do the census data, they break that up into census blocks, which have identified boundaries. If we have a census block that shows as an LMI in that Taney County area, can we look at a project in those specific areas?
I don't think they break the LMI down by census block. I think the smallest that they go to is cities.
Okay.
I'll be happy to check on that for you. I've never done a census block. I'll be happy to check on it for you, but I think they only go as low as cities. But I'll be happy to check. I can check that fairly quickly once I get off the phone here. I wanted to mention something about a bridge project. If you decide to do a couple of bridges, you need to show why that bridge is critical. Is it serving a low to moderate income population and emergency vehicles cannot get to them because it washes out during flooding? And yet you have several flooding situations a year, for instance, whenever you get a hard rain. There has to be a reason. It can't just be because the bridge needs replaced. It has to have a, there has to be a reason behind it, and it has to be, you know, like a health or safety issue for those low to moderate income people.
What about our four FEMA events that we had? If we had a bridge or an area that is completely cut off, and as I heard Spencer say a while ago, he thought, or Mel one said, that Kirbyville was in one of those areas that qualified. As we look at the bypass road and the area that's cut off there from the Coon Creek, Would something like that be of interest?
It sounds like it would. What I would like to do is, the rep from your area is out of Block Grant office until Friday. If we come up with some specific projects, I would like to run them by them to make sure that we're not spinning our wheels, and that they would certainly qualify, especially on a bridge project, because bridges do get tricky. And on a road project. And I would be happy to set up a conference call with your engineer and with Jeff Corman, who is the rep from Block Grant, to ensure that any projects that you come up to would be eligible.
Now, it looks like if we're doing a sewer project or working on engineering drawings for a sewer project that's in this area, that potentially would cover, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
Venice on the Lake, are we doing anything with that? I mean, we're doing some preliminary engineering, aren't we?
A study, I think, is the way it's
studies are most we've done, isn't it?
I haven't. You're using Archer to HBR to update a study that we did and had some more questions that they might have, but Great River has done a preliminary engineering report already on this.
Now that,
you use it, you think?
But, I mean, that's in that the area, is it not?
Well, that would be a great project. I mean,
because it's what area? I mean, what area is that? Is that's closest to what?
Rockin' Woods, Merriam Woods.
Merriam Woods, really? That's the sweet spot of our. So probably Venice on the Lake. What other sewer projects are we working on? What are you guys working on?
I know it is one that we were, that was our next project.
And that's Kirbyville area then? Or?
Well, it's just on the other side of the lake from Bilmark Beach. So that's about a new village and all that area over there on the other side of the lake.
Foreside, you might say.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm just curious on...
Oh, that'd be great.
Barbara, under the national objectives that you have there listed, the last item is health and welfare. Do the disabled fall under that as well?
Disabled would be a class of clientele. Just like senior citizens are also a class of clientele that are eligible.
Okay, we have two projects right now. One is an apartment building that's been applied to HUD for, and we got burned on it last year because of the way HUD was handling it. But now we've already got the architectural renderings, we have the engineering done, and we also have our sheltered workshop that we are in the final stages right now. We already have the architectural renderings and engineering there, I believe, as well, for another 10,000 square foot addition to our sheltered workshop in the community.
I'm pretty sure the sheltered workshop would be eligible. Again, I'd want to run that by the run by Jeff Corman. I'm not sure about the apartment building, but I think it would be worth running it by them to see. And I can always call someone else today and get back the information back to you.
Okay.
Spencer asked a good question. It seems like on these CDB grants, a lot of times you get so much money per person. Is that the way?
No. This, yes, that is the regulation, but not with this money. This money, there is there's no maximum, and there's no per household maximum, and there's also no public hearing required.
How about match? Do we have to come up with any matching money?
No.
Okay.
There's no match required. That doesn't mean, you know, you wouldn't want to put some match in, but there is no match required.
Okay.
Barb, I know that you're familiar with the biosolids project that they have in the county that we're trying to piecemeal together from whichever direction. Would any of that be applicable?
Well, if it's serving the area, is it? Could you, Barbara?
We could almost pick the area we wanted. But what about that Class A biosolids?
I don't think you could do the whole $11 million project because I don't think they're going to give one area, just from a political standpoint, I don't think they're going to give one area $11 million out of the 92. If there's a portion of the project that you could do that would serve the low to moderate income guidelines, then I don't see why it wouldn't be eligible, depending upon how much you're asking for.
I know
they're going to try and spread, you know, my experience in working with these folks for 20-some years is they do try and spread the money around to take care of as many areas of the state as possible.
What's that magic number you're thinking that we shouldn't ask for? Is it $750,000? Is it $1 million per project? What do you think?
I'd say a total of $1 million per county or close to it. Somewhere between $800,000 and $1.2 million or $1.3 million,
so,
because there's 117 counties in Missouri. They're getting $92 million, and six counties are ineligible, and the major cities like St. Louis, Springfield, those places are ineligible. So, you know, it breaks down to really close to $1 million per county. Now, that's not necessarily a formula that they use, and it's not necessary that all counties are even going to submit something. So,
your suggestion is if we wanted to submit four projects, just make sure each project is $1 million or less.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll just submit a bunch of projects, but if we just keep that around that $1 million, $1.2 million per project, you're thinking, you know, that would be acceptable politically, possibly.
Right, but I wouldn't submit four projects at $1 million each. I mean, if you've got projects that are $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, I'd submit those
all.
That's...
Right. No, I understand what you're saying.
That's the kind of project I submit, yeah.
I understand, okay.
I have a question. Kirbyville was initially... on their sewer project, they initially had supplied for several different types of funding. One of them was CDBG. and they received the ARRA grant. And when they accepted that, they had to take themselves off the list for the CDBG funds. Would they be, so basically the ARRA grants for half the project, could they now apply for this to fund all or a portion of the remaining balance? That's actually, this is Roman's idea, it's a good question.
What's an ARRA grant? I'm sorry, I don't know those initials.
Stimulus funding.
Stimulus funding. I don't see why not. I don't see any restriction on why you wouldn't.
Well,
this is a whole new pot of money, so.
The thing is that the documentation is readily available, is why I say.
Oh.
Right, and you've got your other funding in place. That's another thing you want to recognize, that if you are using any other agency's money, that you have to have that in place. You can't, you know, just say, well, we're going to apply for so and so's money. You know, you need to either ask for it all, or if you're going to have match, you need to have it in place.
Okay. Other questions? Projects? I mean, we're going to just decide what projects we're going to go forward with.
I was going to ask about the land ownership on storm shelter type facilities.
20-year lease.
Huh?
20-year lease or more.
Well, ownership of what? Well, I'll just cut to the chase. I don't know how to ask it any other way. We're looking at a parks program area, and we were thinking about building a storm shelter type facility on this parks property that the county's been looking to purchase. Is something like that, if we come up with a set of plans, design plans, could something like that be, like we're going to make an investment on the property, and if we could come up with a design set of plans for a structure on there, could that be applied for through this grant?
Would it be serving a low to moderate income population?
Yes, it'd be in the, there's two different areas that I'm looking at, and one of them's on this list. It would be between the Merriam Woods, Rockaway, and Bull Creek, and that whole area, or the Mildred area, when we talked about Kirbyville, which he just got through talking about being eligible. The Kirbyville area between Mildred is between Kirbyville and Forsyth, but Mildred would be in the low-income area also.
I don't see storm shelter listed as an eligible activity, but they have community facilities listed as a eligible activity, and I would think it would fall under that. So my best guess is that it would be eligible, but I will check to make sure for you.
That would be
it going to serve any other purpose besides the storm shelter? Is it going to be like a community center, or will it house emergency vehicles or emergency personnel or anything like that?
That could be possible. That's as we look at, I mean, acreage, you know, we were going to try to get something big enough, anywhere from 60 to 80 acres worth of property where we could have a park system with a storm,
like a FEMA shelter.
Like a FEMA shelter almost would be what we would be looking at, but we would have to have we were wanting a large enough piece of property that we could use it for other activities.
But you don't own the property at this point.
No, but we're...
No, we do not.
We do not. The answer is to that question is no, we do not, but there's a possibility that discussion is going to take place. Today's Wednesday, tomorrow night, I guess.
Okay. All right. I think that has a strong possibility of being an eligible project. We'd have to work through the property ownership, block grant does allow property acquisition. It's a little cumbersome to to do, but it can be part of the project.
Barb, let me ask you a technical question. This is Ron again. Do these funds fall outside the rules and regulations of the normal CDBG grant program? Is not a county only entitled to have one CDB grant a year?
That regulation is also waived.
It is. All right, great.
It also waives it if you have an open project. You know, a lot of times, Ron, if you have a project that's open for 2 years, they will not allow you to apply. That's waived also.
Excellent.
Wasn't Bradleyville looking for a new roof on their firehouse? Who was looking for the new
roof? Yes, I think there was someone. I think we talked a little bit about doing, I think I talked to...
Cedar Creek. They would qualify, would they not? I mean, that's a fire in the... That is a,
mm-hmm.
a eligible project, fire protection facility
right.
equipment.
Right. That project would also qualify under the Energy Block Grant Program that DNR is going to announce in the next month.
Okay.
Barbara, be sure.
But you can always apply for a block grant. If you don't get the block grant, then you can apply for the energy, you know, the energy block grant.
Sure.
Be sure I understood you right. When Jim was asking about the dollar figures, we need to look at a total of $1.2 million or something like that.
Just per project.
Mm-hmm. Per project. We could do 2, 3, 4 projects and expect maybe to
get... I was saying that if you have 1 or 2 projects that are in that range, I doubt if you'd get them both funded. You might get one of them, you know, potentially you might get one of them funded. What I was saying was that when you look at how many counties are involved and also cities within those counties, that it breaks down to close to $1 million per county. Not that they'll ration it out that way, because they're going to try and fund the best projects, but that I don't think they're going to throw like $3 or $4 million into one county because they want to, you know, they want to spread as much of this around the state as possible.
But it wouldn't be anything wrong with this. Putting together 3 or 4 projects that came to that amount, that they might.
Put together 3 or 4 projects that came to $2 million, and right. They might. You know, if you put in 4 projects and they came up to anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million, they might fund 4 of them. They might fund 3 of them. They might fund 2 of them. It just depends on, you know, how good the projects are. And remember, a lot of people are not prepared to do this. You know, they don't. They don't have any projects that are shovel ready, which is basically what they're asking for.
Okay.
I have a question. We talked a lot about the low and moderate income criteria.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take to meet the health and welfare criteria?
Health and welfare, that is the, for instance, the not-for-profit group, health and welfare is what you use when you can't use low to moderate, but it's like when you have a targeted population. For instance, the health center that we were talking about. If they didn't meet low to moderate, they might be able to meet health and welfare. I've never really submitted a project, I'll be honest with you, under health and welfare. All my projects have either been low to moderate income or a targeted audience, because those two are you can document that. Health and welfare might come under if you're doing demolition, and so you're not really serving a population, but you've got several houses in an area that are abandoned and are of blight, then, you know, that could come under either slum and blight or health and welfare.
Well,
I would have to go back to the guidelines to give you an exact definition.
I'm just reading it from the survey. Looking at it wrong, but
mm-hmm.
wouldn't any water or sewer project be a health and welfare project, or am I looking at it too vaguely?
Well, that's what I would think, but water and sewer, you have to be serving an LMI population.
Okay.
At least 51% LMI.
Okay. And we just got to figure out what projects and get them to Joan and Ron so they can see if they're eligible.
You've answered a lot of questions that we needed answered so that we can proceed with trying to choose some projects.
I don't have anything else.
It would just be a matter of the county, as you said, selecting projects and then getting those projects to a grant writer to get that pre-application in with the engineering or architectural report.
All right.
Okay. One other question. If we, and it goes back to the shelter FEMA buildings that I was talking about, is another project that is similar and in the same, I don't know how to word this hardly, but if we had another town or region that had done a project that would be similar to what we were looking at, could we take those engineering plans and apply those in because of the time frame that we're working with?
That architect or engineer is willing to put your project's name on those plans and specs, just on the preliminary engineering plans, then I don't see any reason why not. Why would not be? You could not use them. You could not, for instance, submit plans for Forsyth. You couldn't submit plans that were done for Hollister that said Hollister on it. It would have to be project specific on the plan. But if the engineer or architect looked at them and said, yes, this will apply, and yes, you know, we're meeting the same needs, and all we have to do is rewrite the preliminary engineering report and change the name on the plan, then yes, you could do that.
So design, it would be the main, design for the property where it was setting would be the main object.
Mm-hmm.
The thing we'd be looking for. I don't know of anything else. Mm-hmm.
Barbara, when should the commission anticipate that you would respond regarding these questions that you so kindly offered to check up on with DED?
I can call them here in just a few minutes when I get off the phone. I'll just want to go back over the questions again to make sure I have them. So if you want to end the meeting, Joan, and then we can go back over the questions, then I can call Bob Grant and go through them with them.
Okay, if you wouldn't mind just reviewing the questions right now, we'll be sure that everything's in there, and then if you could email that those responses, that way if we're missing a question, everyone will know here and we can fill it in.
Okay. Let's see. They ask about a storm shelter and in a park situation, and they would be acquiring the property either as part of the project or before the project starts. They were asking about apartment for disabled. They were asking about shelter workshop, which I'm pretty sure is covered. They were asking about census block, if we have LMI for census block. That's what I have. Was there any other questions that I missed?
Health and welfare definition?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you mention the health and welfare definition?
Oh, what's the definition of health and welfare? Okay.
There's not a representative
here. I can go to the guidelines to figure that one out.
There's not a representative here from the city of Forsyth, but, for example, I know one of their projects is to move their park system, which floods almost annually or every couple of years, to a new location and lands that they own to rebuild buildings. Is that something that would qualify for the city?
But Forsyth's not an LMI qualified.
Yeah, they're Forsyth, that would benefit the whole city, and they're not LMI. Forsyth, I don't believe it's LMI eligible.
Okay.
Hey, I have one more.
But that would qualify DNR's park grant program. DNR has a park grant program.
Right.
When are they going to make a decision on who gets awarded these funds?
It usually takes 6 weeks from the date that they're due.
So there's a preliminary application due here at
the third,
and then there'll be a final application due when?
Within 6 weeks of receiving the preliminary applications, they will send out letters of invitation requesting a final application, and they usually give you 4 to 6 weeks to get that final application put together.
So no hard date, but we're talking end of year.
end of the year we'll see money if you're qualified. I mean, you'll hear end of October and then see money or get a letter of award probably the end of the year, right?
Yeah. Yes, if you receive funding, you'll be working on meeting the other criteria for that you have to go through for administration of the money, setting up bank accounts, bidding, all that. You'll be prepared to do that by the end of the year.
Hello, this is Frank Preston. I have a couple of questions.
Okay, Frank.
In regards to road flooding, we have four identified areas in the county that flood on a regular basis during heavy rains.
Okay.
One of them in Rockaway Beach, Boys Camp Road, is definitely probably in the LMI area. Two or three may or may not be, but would they fall under health and welfare? And then the fourth issue is, one road we have is the Army Corps Road, but it affects county citizens. Could we jointly work with them to try and request a grant for their situation, or should I refer them to this grant, or how would you recommend dealing with that situation?
On the road flooding, yes, we could go under health and we may be able to go under health and welfare. I'll check on that. Are you saying that when those roads flood that you can't get emergency vehicles in or people out in case of an emergency?
That's correct. There's one.
Okay.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And then what was the last one you asked about?
There's a section of road that affects Taney County citizens, but the part that's flooded belongs to the Army Corps. Should we work?
Army Corps of Engineers?
Yes, ma'am.
Block grant won't work with another federal agency's property.
Okay.
That would have to be owned by the county. That section of the road.
They'll give us the road. Take the road in then.
Well, the road you would build would be above the floodplain anyway, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Which would be the county.
But we'd have to take the road in first and then to apply, I mean, which we could.
Let me ask you an odd question, Barb. The road that they're looking at that falls on core property, if in fact they were to do something about that with this money or future money, because the county maintains the road, where they would move it would not fall on core property, correct, gentlemen?
It'd be elevated, but it'd still be...
Oh, it would be in the floodplain. My mistake. It'd still be core property?
Still be core property.
Sorry, Barb.
We just have to delve. Okay. That's all I got.
I'll ask the question, but I'm pretty sure that it's not eligible, but I'll ask it.
Okay.
Does preliminary engineering need to be completed by the September 4th deadline?
It needs to be completed before the September 4th deadline, because you need that to finish the three-page application because of the budget.
Okay.
But it's really the preliminary engineering report is what.
Yes, but the preliminary engineering report contains a cost estimate. It contains a cost estimate on all alternatives that are looked at, plus the recommended alternative. The recommended alternative, you don't have to. You have to look at all alternatives to solving the problem, and an estimated cost for that alternative. Then on the recommended alternative, you have to have more of a detailed cost estimate. For instance, if you're putting in a sewer system, how many linear feet of pipe that you're thinking about that you think will be necessary, how many, I'm not an engineer, but lift stations or manholes or whatever, that has to be in the preliminary engineering report.
On your sewer project, if we send in a project that was way over a couple of $1 million, but we had other sources to finish it up, would they maybe buy the $2 million to the whole project?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I can tell you that you have to have your other funding in place and be able to document that funding is available. For instance, if you've got DNR funding, then you have to have something from DNR saying that money is available from DNR for that project.
Is that a question you could ask? Could you find out about that if we you know, had a $5 million project, and we could prove the other funding, would they...
Sure, I'll ask.
...kick in whatever they're going to kick in for Dana County?
Well, I've got, that brings up another question, too. Did you finish there?
Yeah.
If we had a, and you heard us talk about the east-west corridor, and we were pick, we were thinking about doing that in sections, like...
Okay.
And we had one section of that that needed a bridge to make it, to make the project connect. It would be actually connecting from one highway to the other. Could those appropriated monies, which we would have for the bridge that we would apply for, and we already have the other funding for the other half of the project, would that bridge portion be acceptable? We've got one big creek that we need to cross to reach a BB highway, a state highway now. And if we could use the funding for that bridge, we have Broden Bridge, I think approximately $5.1 million appropriated for the rest of that part of that project. Could that portion be for that bridge and the rest of the money, as long as we showed the rest of the money available, be used?
Is that going to serve a certain population?
Most of eastern Taney County. It'll be about 7,000 to 9,000 cars a day across it. They work in the...
Well, what communities are in eastern Taney County?
Well, the community would be Kirbyville that would be eligible. The citizens would be crossing the bridge would come from all rural areas in eastern Taney County. From Kirbyville, Mildred, all the places that I mentioned before, Cedar Creek, Mark Twain, Pro Tem, Forsyth, Taneyville, Cedar Creek.
We'd have to be real specific on what incorporated area we would list, because Kirbyville would qualify and say Taneyville, but we wouldn't want to list Forsyth.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm just asking if we could get the money for that bridge.
Let me check on that. Let me talk to them about that. The other monies that are obligated, are those funds from MoDOT?
No, they're our road and bridge tax monies from Taney County.
Okay, it's Taney County money. Okay. Taney County road and bridge money. Okay. I'll ask and find out.
Barbara, when you respond to us, would you put that in an email form, please, and then state the question and the answer, and then I'll forward that on to the commissioners as they make these decisions, and I'll gather there's another question also.
No, I think you may have this question already answered in this handout that Joan gave us, because under the second page of it where it says CDBG application maximum, it actually states applicants should leverage all available local funds and other state and or federal funding using proposed CDBG as a gap financing tool. Now, would that not be
right,
just answering
that's
pretty
that? Much across the board. Yeah. Yes, they want to leverage the money as much as possible, but they're not requiring a match. Are you guys still there?
Yes.
We're all just sitting here looking at each other.
I just wanted to make sure my cell phone battery didn't die, because I'm on my cell phone. So.
We're done.
We done?
We're done with that.
Barbara, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, and I'll get these questions answered as quickly as possible and respond by email.
Thank you, Barbara.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Call ended.
Okay, so, do we want to talk Tiger and come back to what we've been talking about?
That's fine. Do we need to talk Tiger? Tiger Grant stuff?
My thing was just to give an update on where we're at, and then to kind of talk to the county about the county's participation and where we can use your assistance. To kind of give you just a quick update, there are 22 projects in Missouri that are looking at Tiger Grant, so there's two more. the three of them that they know of that will submit applications are one in Kansas City, one in St. Louis, and one on a port probably around Cape Girardeau, and then this project. Those are the only anticipated projects that will provide the 20% match in order to get MoDOT's support of the project. We have initiated the...
We're still the only one that's in the distressed
area. In the distressed area. The others fall in the non-distressed area. And we have initiated the environmental and cultural process, permitting process, so they've started their work. And we're working on the project website so that we can start getting some public input and incorporate that into the application. But the main thing that we need the support or the assistance of the county is to prepare letters of support or solicit letters of support from legislators, school districts, emergency response, cities, chambers of commerce. So anybody that we can get support for the project would be beneficial.
Do you have a template?
I can develop a template.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't think that'll be a challenge in the county and just in the region, but if you kind of would lay out what needs to be in the letter, that would be a faster process for us.
What about the political support from, and I know things have changed a lot in Congress. Parties are still there, but their influence isn't as great, but still from Bond and Blunt.
I don't think that'll be an issue. I got to know what the letters need to say.
Okay.
I mean,
how about the governor's office? I mean, MoDOT will be trying to pursue getting a letter of support, but they also recommended that if we had any connections, that we should explore those opportunities too.
I know some people who have a very good relationship with the governor.
Okay. So we'll work together through that process, and we'll develop a kind of a format that we can use for that and solicit those.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a deal.
One thing, too, and I know you all know, but, you know, brought Dale Ricks to the meeting today just to, as our partner on the project and the input and knowledge and history of the project that he'll bring to the table. Mm-hmm. So we're very happy to have him on board with us.
With things and as you look for letters of support, with things like the meeting with that Hollister School Board had with OTC, Hollister School District, I should say, the possibility of OTC building a campus, yes, if that road exists, with things such as the movement or request for movement of the solid waste project to the Hollister facility instead of Cooper Creek, which floods. Last year at one time it was 10 days that they couldn't get to the Cooper Creek project.
Yeah.
So the movement of that facility to the Hollister facility off of the east-west, if it existed, with things that maximize dollars to the area, such as a support letter of 51% of the employment for those projects, Betania County citizens.
Yes, all of that will.
Well, would that all be things that we would want to put in the, I'm going to call it a pile of things that need to go before the...
Well, and hang on, I mean, it's funny, but I mean, like the movement of the solid waste facility, I mean, one of the things they're looking at is environmental impacts and a potential for environmental improvement. And if there's been a condition which has been adverse to that, and this provides an opportunity to improve that, then that'll fit well with some of the criteria they have in the application.
That's where I would like to go with in the support letter, just pile on these things that could happen. I would even like to use the conversation we had today about the storm facility as being a possibility at the end it'll be a short distance from there if it went in the Mildred area, in which there's been some talk with those people. Such things as that, I mean, I think that's big, a park facility at the end of, you know, within a 2 to 3 mile stretch of the east-west corridor that would contain 80 acres to serve all the citizens of the county.
Well, I mean, another one is emergency vehicle response. I mean, you know, like you were talking about with Coon Creek, I mean, having a quicker emergency vehicle response in the event that Coon Creek isn't accessible to be able to provide that.
Ambulance access. District plays right at the end of, yeah. Right at the west end of the east-west corridor. I mean, it's there's lots of things that just pile every good reason on the platter and let them.
Sheriffs.
So you can help get the guidelines of the letter. I'm sure we can get them endorsed.
Okay.
And you're going to put together,
that we can think of. You guys will have to supplement that with additional people that, you know, we've maybe not thought of that you have as far as getting some letters of support. Mm-hmm. It would be individual businesses and how they'll affect their employees would be also be a great opportunity.
And you got a short time frame here, so what I'm saying is you go to Rick, and Rick's already met with OTC and the school district. So he's already got some form of letter of support that would be available, because somebody's got to sign on the dotted line. You got to have that stuff piled up. So that's what I'm looking for, is things like that. And then talk to Larry Van Gilder and whoever chairs that thing on the solid waste proposal. The primary people that you would talk to get those letters of support. I mean, we're on a short leash, as they say.
Well, and those people, those property owners along the project area, I think it's important, yeah. Very important to share their support.
Spencer, I know we want to get as many of these or all of them by the application deadline, but the way this reads is it basically says that to provide your supporting documentation on web links. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to put, you only got 25 pages.
No,
you can. These are going to be web links.
Well,
so you can put as many as you can get by the deadline, and then you can just keep adding to the website until it comes when they'll actually get to looking at it.
The application is limited to 25 pages, but they do allow you to provide access via web link or website. And so that's our intention, to have a project website with additional documentation, like Mel's talking about, whether they be letters of support or additional mapping or information that may be beneficial. So try to use that technology to our advantage.
If we had 2 miles worth of land ownership willing to take action, but I mean, that looks to me like that would go a long ways from one state highway to another state highway.
Yeah. I mean, even as simple as letters of intent that they intend to work through the right-of-way process. I mean, not so that, you know, as we continue to develop that information, they'll have that opportunity to evaluate their position, but to show that they see the value and benefit of the project.
So basically 2 or 3 property owners in that stretch with letters of intent would be good, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So that was kind of the update on Dale. Okay. Do you want to add anything else?
Obviously, I mean, I'm excited about this. You guys have worked on this in one form or another for a long time. And granted, as we all know, the odds are not in our favor of getting this grant. It's possible. It's
right.
Very possible. Very, very possible. You know, but I'd want to bet the farm on this particular application. But everything you do now is laying a groundwork to get this project completed sooner or later. And I don't think everyone here would all like to see it done sooner. And so it's not I don't see it as a wasted effort, even if we're not successful in this. And, you know, more and more, I feel a lot more confident today after this conversation than I did when I first heard about this. You know, I just think, oh, snowball chance in hell. You know, it's more than that. It is better than that.
Yeah.
And even if we're not successful here, this is a step in the right direction and laying the groundwork to show the world this is worthwhile. This is something that can be done. And if you guys remember, you weren't around here, too, but I was 8 years ago saying the only way to ensure this thing gets built is to get part of it designed in the first place. Because that's always what happens. Money comes up. And I couldn't tell you 8 years ago that this money was going to be here, but it always happens. Sooner or later, there's some money available, and the people who get it are the people who are ready. And we may not be right where we'd like to be right now, but I think we're close enough that we can make a shot at it, and then it just lays the groundwork for the, if we don't get it this time, the next time around, whatever it happens to be, whether you folks look at it, more local funding, or MoDOT's got some funds, or the federal government again.
Are you taking notes on that? And Jim had the Safe Schools Act, 200.
Well, we didn't talk about that yet. Huh. That's something we'll have to talk about, is the road improvement around the school system. There's four schools that are affected by this.
Maybe I have more than that if OTC builds somewhere.
Right. But yeah, there's four active schools right now that would be affected. Well, against it, just there's more for it than others. I mean, some are real passionate support, like Hollister. You know, part of Branson's passionate, some just said we'll never use it. Same with Forsyth. But you talk to Kirbyville, or the workers that are living, they're going to be for it. But from an city agencies, I mean, Forsyth and Branson aren't openly against it, but, they're not sure what the benefit would be to that incorporated area because they're not sure.
The highest percentage of vote on the tax was came from off the Mount Branson area, which you figured would be the least amount. Because it's some people use the excuse that it bypasses them and eliminates them. That's where the highest percentage of voter turnout voted for the East-West Corridor. So that eliminates their argument there.
Okay.
We'll continue to work diligently to put this package together. And we'll continue to give you updates as we kind of move through working with Frank's.
Any help you need, we'll just ask me on anything that I can do.
Well, nothing else, Tiger. Let's go back to this then.
Okay.
We're going to come up with some project lists. We need to come up with that six or eight and then see what Barbara says, right? I mean, we talked about Venice Lake, we talked about Tantone, we talked about a portion of biosolids, possibly storm shelters. We talked about the flooded road area.
I don't think there's no preliminary engineering done on any of those.
Yeah, but hey, look, so let me give you an update on that. I mean, don't misconstrue what they're looking for on that preliminary engineering report. Basically, it's a narrative description of what the project's going to consist of.
You're not looking for drawings.
No, and then a concept cost estimate of what it's going to cost. And when we do those cost estimates for those reports, we build in a contingency because we don't have it down to the number of nuts and bolts. But we can put a cost estimate together that will make sure that there's an adequate funding to fund that project. That's what they're looking for. It's not an elaborate set of plans that you can go through, but you just need to have a good grasp as to what the scope and cost of that project is going to be and the benefits. My biggest history with CDBG funding is related to transportation projects, whether they be road projects or big bridge projects. So that process is fairly easy. Detour length, emergency vehicle access, mail access, school bus access, all of those things are a component of that report to show the benefit for the LMI area. So, and then from a water sewer component, I mean, it's...
We can get from nothing to the report on two or three of these.
But doesn't Rockaway have some water projects? Don't they have some project for water right now? I mean, those possibly, they would qualify.
Yes, I was told that I think they have a grant writer working on some of those, too, outside of of Great River Ride. That's what you were saying now?
Yeah, they've got...
So we shouldn't even be concerned with that right now since they're taking her...
We could tell them this money's out, so make sure you know about it. But they got a whole team of people that are working on their problem.
And the storm shelter idea near Merriam Woods, I just don't know if we have enough time to come up with a concept on that whole thing and where we'd put it with no land ownership.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just throwing ideas out there.
Well, I mean, that's a perfect place. I mean, that's nothing but a trailer park over there.
The K Highway project that they were talking about that continually floods, that falls on Core property, would the Core transfer ownership of that portion of it? They would?
They said they would.
I was there last week when they were flying. They had a grant rider, and they were shooting laser, getting depths and everything. They're applying for some kind of a grant to fill it themselves.
They said we can have it if we want it.
But I mean, they had their grant.
I think I'd wait
till
they found the work.
I think our meeting out there is what prompted that to happen.
Right.
Do we want to move forward with preliminary letters of? For these four flooded areas?
Well, what we do is come up with a list, and then you guys, after you get your answers from Barbara, you narrow down to four or five, and then we, based off what her experience is, what our chances are for all these. Or
can I give an idea that I've already shared with one person in the room? And Dale has a lot of connection on the transportation side of things. So a letter of support wrote in the right wordage to the people that will be in the transportation part of this to let him himself use a boilerplate for the other, write up something that would be the right wording for it. You understand what I'm trying to say?
On behalf of who?
On behalf of whatever we have on the transportation side of things. And then on the other half, because that's what he's asking about, is where do we go from here? Nobody knows MoDOT better than he does. Nobody knows the people, but to put a bug in their ear better than he does.
But you're back on the east-west?
I'm on any transportation project. That's what he asked. That's what Frank just asked. I'm not talking about the other grants. I'm talking about anything that pertains to this transportation. You got a good group of people here that... specialize in all those things, different areas. Have each one of them write a boilerplate type letter for us to get some support letters signed to. Is that
right now? Again, as far as MoDOT will quote do their own, of course, mm-hmm. They won't let me put words in their mouth.
Right.
But we don't need to quote it with that. We're coming to and with the match situation, we'll meet their criteria. I can't imagine them not supporting that. But then as far as the type of wording that would need to go to folks on the transportation committees, the senators,
the congressmen
and so forth. And those people, they always appreciate having that format. They may change a few words to suit themselves, but we can get into those key elements of how it benefits on a transportation basis for them. Mm-hmm. We can do that.
I mean, time being the key. I'm just looking at the commission could waller something around for 2 weeks trying to figure out what to say and who to contact, whereas you can sit down and write it out in a short short period of time, and then Ron and Joan has their expertise in what they're doing. So what they want to submit on behalf of all the other things that we listed there.
So where do we go from here to come up with this list?
Well, the your fills, I mean, you got Graham Clark, Barker Hole, Clevenger Cove, Boys Camp, Steely, all of those might fit. We just have to have a narrative type of paperwork. And they're all not huge projects. You want to narrow it down to two or three of those.
You sparked a question for me. So Taney County is, based off the LMI, about 37% as a county. Then we have cities that are higher, and some cities that are obviously don't qualify. So if it's a project like Kevin Cove, which is in the county, but it doesn't have an incorporated area around it, do we take the county's average LMI at that point? Like Kevin Cove is the prime example. I mean, that's not in Branson. It's closest to Branson, but it's, you look at the area and you could have an argument either way. But with the timeline I'm talking about,
that's why I'm hoping we can use the census block data, because it takes the county and breaks it into little pieces.
Okay.
And then we can identify.
And that's one of the questions we have Barbara trying to answer. Was that one of the questions? Okay.
So if she says we can use those census block data.
Well, that will actually define the project list at that point, I think, Chuck. Is that, I mean, some of these projects won't have a chance without the ability to use the census block data.
And that falls under health and welfare.
Yeah, and that's one reason that I brought up what I brought up about the bridge for east-west.
Mm-hmm.
The bridge is across BB Highway, and the cut is below BB Highway for the east-west corridor. The bridge can be put in at that location. You've got Gobbler's Knob Trailer Park.
Right.
You've got Cook's Trailer Park. I mean, you got 400 or 500 homes, which was a major situation when the sewer project was put in out there.
Right.
So you have all those people that live in that area that is going to make it qualify if you're going to dissect it down.
Well, if we can, yeah.
And if you can use that money for the bridge that goes across BB to make your cut for the
But the bridge is more than $1 million, isn't it?
Probably sure it will be, but $1.3 million or $1.4 million or something like that.
It's worth looking at. I guess we'll wait for the census.
That's the reason I brought that forward.
Right.
Because you got areas that are specific that they don't even have to do anything but just look at an aerial map, and they're going to see 500 to 600 trailers within less than a quarter of a mile of this situation.
Right.
And so, if you're looking at, and this is based off monetary yearly income, what kind of effects are they going to have on that particular project?
Sure. When do you think Barbara will have?
Did I understand her to say that Mr. Corman was out of the office until when?
Next week, I think I am.
But she was going to call ahead of time and try to speak to somebody else and get right back to us as soon as
possible.
But
she said she'd email today.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, but realistically, it's Monday before we'll have an answer back, correct?
Well, today's Wednesday. She emails us.
I'm just wondering if she would just go ahead and schedule something for Monday morning to get it done and have a list, be able to, at the end of the day, Monday, have a list for Barbara. Is that too late?
I certainly think Monday's the last time the final date that we should be examining this. We need to be going forward.
Right.
24th.
Monday's the 21st. I mean, 20. Yeah, I'm sorry. For office shooting, Monday is the 24th. So that's going to give her basically
a week.
Yeah.
That's the reason you have to look at the simplest ones we can.
That's what I'm a little bit worried about the Venice on the Lake. As an option, because she threw out the word shovel ready. Well, not that it's shovel ready, but a project like this on the lake, that many properties, is going to be probably it'd probably take more than a year just to acquire the easements to build that project. And it's a $20+ million project, and she's looking for, you know,
yeah, it's not really a realistic size.
I think we start cutting them down that way. I think that's the way we start that.
It'd be a good fit if that Kirbyville project fell. I mean, if you were allowed to utilize those dollars.
Well, I know that your tantrum,
share of those dollars, right, use somewhere
that
else.
Project that Tim talked about, that's a viable project too.
Well, you see, when you're sitting here listening, you guys got your letters of recommendation and all that. You've got Max Lytle, the executive director for us, is president of MACDDS, which is Missouri Association of Counties for the Disabled. They're getting ready to bring down social services to tour our facility as a pilot project for other projects in the state because they like it that much. They've already gotten a USDA grant and have the money in the bank for a new commercial laundry to be established. They've already ordered the equipment. What we could do is use, the project's probably going to be about $1.2 million,
mm-hmm,
but what it said in here, and where we were talking about, can we use it to complement it, what I'm thinking is it would give us the latitude. We've been trying to stretch the money as far as we can, and it would give us the latitude to go ahead and say apply for 600 of it, and then still keep 600 back,
right,
for other projects that we can develop, because basically what we've done is this is the end of a 10-year plan, and we've been funding it as we go, but this would give us time to stretch and really do more for the disabled.
Right.
That census info would be very important to us in getting, because of the fact that most of the people we support are low-income people who can't afford to take care of their people that have disabilities. And a lot of them are grandparents or aunts and uncles that have inherited a child, you know, that's been left.
See, that's where I think they have to get away from specific areas. Because, mm-hmm, you're talking about...
That's wellness and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was asking about that. The other side of that is we do have the apartment project. Both of those things, and that's a HUD project for the disabled. So I don't know, you know. But I don't know what our chances are getting funded again, but we were funded on one already.
Right.
We're in for application on that. We don't know, but we're looking at $1.5 million, $1.8 million on that project as well. But the Tantone, I think, really has merit to it.
Right, too.
Because it would really move that whole thing along, and it would give the county, you know, a county commission appointed that's using property tax dollars to grow further down the line with the budget they have. Mm-hmm. And we're cookie cutter ready to go. So we're down to put letting for bids. Mm-hmm. So
I think our decision is start cutting projects out that won't qualify to get down to projects that will qualify.
Have you
talked about here.
Has the office, your office, gone through all the list of project summaries? I mean, you had 163 or 143 projects?
168, and Ms. Bowley and Redford have gone through all 168 projects.
To see which ones qualify, or?
Not for this, no, just looking at potential sources of funding for those projects.
Right.
The challenging part of that has been, as Ron and I have seen, that every day that the funding landscape changes.
Right.
But out of that,
become my best friend because she calls me several times a week and says, guess what? Guess what just came up?
Right.
Yeah, it's real hard to rule. We're ready to rule out
bunches.
Or place on an inactive status for a temporary period of time, perhaps, 90% of the projects, 85% of the projects that are there. But each, as she just said, the different grants writers tell us right around the corner there may be something open up that will fit this. Or perhaps the project that was submitted did not provide all the criteria that was needed to make the decision as to whether or not it would fit the mold for the dollars that would be available. So we struggle with that and try to get that additional information so that we can make those determinations as we go along. It's a real complex
layered process.
But from what I'd read of you guys on stuff from the IDA, basically the two grant runners basically have called that down to about 25.
We have asked them to do that. I asked Ann Black, actually, to go through the projects also. She's another long-term grant writer, been at this for many, many years, highly respected, worked with John Sutee a lot, the county. and Ms. Bowley, and they both say, this is so hard to do. Wish we could do it, but this is so hard to do. There are so many variables here. So they're having difficulty culling it down for us to their select projects.
Okay, well, out of that, though, how many of them do you have plans from? Architectural renderings or engineering studies?
Do you know, Ron, any plans?
Well, a number of the projects that were submitted came from cities and political subdivisions as well as the county, not just nonprofits. So obviously there are projects that fall within the city of Branson, within the city of Hollister, et cetera, that have been engineered. I don't have how many of those projects there are, but they also have the ability to apply for these funds, the same as the county does as a project. So city of Branson may apply for these funds. I got a call from Representative Wood yesterday asking if I would assist a small village over in Stone County. And I called the lady that serves on that council and said, here's a couple of places where you could look. So there are going to be many people vying for different funds, but I don't have the specific answer to your question, how many of them.
Would you maybe be able to go back, though, and look at, per the, I can't remember, LMI, you know, if it's not serving the greater good of the whole county and it's just the city of Branson, they're not going to get it. Based on this stuff here that we've seen.
For these particular funds, that's probably the case.
So you could probably eliminate that just based on the LMI if it's not serving the greater good of the whole county or another subdivision from what I've heard today.
Right. I mean, that's how I understand it, too.
There'd be a way of bringing it down closer for the commission.
Well, I mean, I almost think we got to wait for Barbara to get back some answers. I mean, I really do. I mean, because Cleverture Cove Road would be a great road, you know. But if we can't do block grant, I mean, census.
Well, what about health and welfare, fire truck accessibility, emergency ambulance accessibility?
Good.
But, I mean, down there.
But she's got to define wellness, though. I mean, doesn't she says she got to still define that, too.
I think those projects also,
especially health and welfare, it just seems like that would be part of our.
I mean, you would think that we could get the smaller projects. I mean,
I think that one in Boys Camp we ought to.
Is on your list?
Yeah.
Boys Camp and Cleverture Cove, huh? Okay.
Do you want to involve Ms. Bowley in any way in your meeting on Monday?
Well, I'm saying, I mean. You can. I mean, I'm just saying, do we want to have it Monday to finalize this list? Is that what we want to do and be done with it?
Well, if you hear from her today or tomorrow.
Then we can squeeze it in before then.
Yeah, I'll try to do it Friday.
But I'm concerned that, you know, she's in Kansas City, I mean, St. Louis right now?
She's in Washington, D.C. right now in her home. She's living in Florida.
And the person she's waiting on is out of the office until possibly Monday, too. So
she was going to go ahead and call today to someone else at the ED.
Right.
She's going to find the answers for us.
Yeah.
And she knows how to do that. I agree with Chuck that it's...
Well, I mean, if you hear from her beforehand, that's fine, but...
Short string. How about tentatively scheduling something for Monday if we get it before then and... can craft it, you all can move as quickly as you want.
Yeah, you can call it, yeah.
Want.
Well, I did make a motion that we table this meeting until
Friday.
Friday, or
we just table till Friday at 10 o'clock. Well, till 9 o'clock Monday. Friday, and then we'll
post it for Monday.
Is that right with you, Chuck?
Table it and post it for Monday then.
We'll table this till Monday. I mean, table this till Friday at
and
9.
Repost it at Monday. Okay, because Monday's our last day, right?
Really, it needs to be. I mean, it's going to be hard enough to get the application done in time. With any, I think it would be difficult. Is that your motion then?
Oops.
Second?
Aye.
Okay. So Monday at Friday at 9 a.m. is what we tabled it to. Okay. All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate you setting this up.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't share more wires.
I got some administrative stuff I want to talk to you guys about. It's all right. It won't be difficult.
See you guys. Thanks.
See you, Tim.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah. I'll be quick. Back when we decided to move the downstairs because of the threat of illnesses, we verbally kind of said that just take care of it and get it done. And then at a point, and I don't think I dreamt it up, but if I did, I apologize. Three of the IT guys came to me, and I think I brought it to you, but maybe I didn't, and said, everyone's using our cell phone for the move, and their cell phone bills went through the roof. And there's three bills that they've asked me early on if we would pick up their entire bill for 1 month because of the transition of them being upstairs and moving around and all that. And I told them it was fine. Are you guys all right with that? There's three guys that, I mean, in just their one line, and we're not talking hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but it's more than the $26 because the usage went way up for that 30-day period when they moved it, transitioned everybody out, moved them over to the judicial facility, then moved them back over here.
I don't remember you saying nothing, but we've had to do that before, a time or two.
So you guys are good with that?
That'll be fine.
Okay.
You don't need to place a vote on it, or...
No, Rick was just concerned. He wanted to make sure that we had a public discussion about it, because I didn't remember if we did or not. So that's the first thing. The second thing is Aegis has submitted their second wave of bills, and last time we took it out of professional services. What are we going to take the second wave? You know, it's the same bill of the planning and zoning, you know, the whole thing that we're doing with them. Where do you want that money to come out? There's still money in the professional services, but yet it is planning and zoning work. But it also could come out of some sewer stuff. It could come out of anywhere. Where do you want the money to come out of?
What budget planning and zoning was?
I wouldn't think.
Just put it in professional services.
Yeah.
You fine with that, Danny? Chuck, you're fine with that? Okay. That's what I told Nikki, but I just want to double check. I don't want to make decisions on behalf of you guys, even though we may talk about it. I mean, think about it.
Where are we taking out the remodel?
Capital improvements.
Okay.
We had a capital improvements line.
Well,
we've got professional services budget line. Yeah, we budgeted extra this year, so. Yep. And then the last thing is, I saw your response from Sunview, Barbara. You forwarded Barbara's, and she basically left us a bunch of questions.
What I would like to do.
And so my question is, how do we want to respond to that?
I would like to respond this way.
Okay. Basically she says, okay, great, I see you guys out here messing with some gravel.
I read it. I see it on the phone. So.
What would you like to do?
My response I'd like to be this. Barb, we do not plan to do any more clearing at the 30-foot right-of-way or improving of Sunview at this time. Any additional work to the road or right-of-way would need to be approved by the Taney County Commission.
Okay.
I know that's not going to be a long enough answer, but that's what I...
Can I add that Bob put that on his letterhead and send it out?
Well...
Or you'd rather you send it out? Or Bob...
She made comments.
She addressed.
She sent it to me.
Oh, okay. Just send it out.
And you want to know why I didn't answer.
And you're saying at this time, we're just not planning on it. And we're not saying why at this time, we're just saying at this time. Okay. I agree.
She'll probably send another letter back, and I would like to respond to that. If you want to clear, you want to do anything, again, you need to come before the county commission and see what our opinion is
right
on that.
I'm good with that. Perfect. You respond. I'm good with that.
Addressed to him.
You're right. It is, and that's the best way. That's the best way to answer.
She's a smart enough lady.
She's not going to like the answer. You're right.
Like the answer, and she's going to want more.
Right. That's it. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Gotcha. Perfect. That's all the things I had for administrative.
I'm going to say, well, I'm sure glad it don't lay on these.
Appreciate it. You don't have any problems over there with your own roads?
How about shared leave? What are we going to do?
Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
I've talked to some more people, and I still haven't got an answer back from Connell. I should have invited Tim about that. How about letting them borrow next year's sick leave or next year's vacation?
Have you checked Branson's policy?
I haven't. I'm waiting for Hyder. But, you know, this is the orientation started yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. How about this bar next year's? And we don't have to create a policy.
It seems like that we've been discouraged to that very strongly. And I don't know if it was Andy Marmaget with the audit or...
I think our attorney did originally. And I'm the one who went to the attorney and says, why don't we just do that and just get this thing... Just, I mean, I'm not saying I'd vote. I'm not saying you'd vote for it or you would vote for it, but we're trying to look. We're looking for a quick fix on a per case basis to just some seriously catastrophic problems.
Right.
And that's the only reason I would even entertain that is because it's such a unique situation.
They've got policy, but policy on the Branson School.
Yeah, I haven't looked at any of that. I'm waiting.
Yeah, they have a specific reading for this very thing,
right?
And it's in their policy. They crushed it last.
Well, they killed the sick leave pool process.
Yes, they did. They didn't kill it. They crushed it and put it. What happened was is they had it implemented, and something went wrong, and so they had some employees brought it back forward. They had a couple of employees that needed some help and. I believe it was while Hyder was there. It may have been before that, but they absolutely crushed it. And in doing so, they added some verbiage to a policy that helped individual efforts.
Right. I don't have the... My thing is this. I'm not sure... Legally, I'm concerned... But I know what we're trying to do. What I'm trying to do is I hate to shape a policy to help two people. I'd rather just help the two people however we can help the two people, which is, I mean, I would be in favor of them borrowing next year's. Seriously. That's how I would do it because, I mean, this is such a unique, catastrophic problem they both have that...
I'm not against that.
Okay.
If we can do it, I would want to call... Andy is one of them comes to mind. That's probably where it came from, but I'm not sure. Have you asked Rick about it?
I haven't talked to Rick. I talked to Bob. Bob says, you know, of course we don't like it, but that's better. He said it's doing that's better than putting a policy that's going to open the county up for litigation. Of course, you know, he's got his lawyer hat on, and he's always talking about, you know, suppose 40 hours comes in, okay? Only 40 hours of pool hour comes in. You only can help one person, not because you can't split it in half. That only helps one. He said, then all of a sudden, you're judging who's worse off.
I think that's way out there, though. You look at the list of people, how many hours they have.
Right.
I mean, it's an extremely long list.
All of them
are maxed out, or not all of them.
Yeah, but there's a lot maxed out.
Marked at 480.
480 hours. And but are they willing to give? I know.
The record that she showed, in fact, when they did it, was, I don't know, a dozen or two dozen people
right.
were given, and that was years ago. But, you know, sure, I mean, it's no guarantee.
What do you think?
I just, both employees are good employees. I'd like to help them.
Oh, me too. You want to talk to Rick and Andy?
Yeah, I'll call Rick.
Okay, do that.
What did you call?
I'm going to try to get to Branson Schools.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of who to call there.
I'm going to be there at 4:30 again today because I have another child that's going through another orientation. I think Hyder will be there.
Well, what's her name? Panels, that kind of stuff for him. Husband works at White River. I can't think of anybody.
Murray? No.
Bob, who's the lady that handles all of the Branson High School's...
He has a dentist appointment.
Yeah.
They're going to fill it up. He's going to get a gold tooth right here with a P on it.
Hey, Adam.
Cool. Stop by the
P for Paulson.
On the way home.
Well, it's Harold Hall's daughter, too, I'm trying to think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's who you could contact.
Okay.
They probably have the answer for you.
For what?
For what their policy is on sick leave.
Yeah, I'm going to do some checking.
I'd rather, if I was going to argue, take an argument, the shared lead deal,
mm-hmm.
do it and turn. I mean, if you have to crush it 2 weeks later, you do it. But I'll go ahead and call Andy Marmaget. Who's told us not to do the borrowing thing? The borrowing,
sick
the vacation
pool.
Time.
Oh.
Andy probably.
Probably. All right,
sick pool's different. He's talking about borrowing.
No, I'm just saying, suppose we, what's bad, what's worse? Sick pool policy or borrowing from the future?
I'm going to do something painless.
Go get some laughing gas.
Not painless working with us, is it, Bob?
It's all right.
That's all I got.
Okay, anything else?
Nope. You good?
We're good.
We're good.
I think that one of these days we're going to have a little powwow about some executive session on some personnel issues that have been brought to my attention.
Okay.
The last day or two. We've got to kind of work through these things and smooth some edges, or we're going to have a rough saw.
I don't have a clue what you're talking about. It's fine.
Recess it?
Yeah.